Today is Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. On this day in 1967, Nobel laureate Albert John Lutuli died after being struck by a train. The mysterious circumstances of his death led many to believe the accident was really an assassination.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Spotify original from Parcast. I'm Vanessa Richardson, and today I'm joined by our guest host, Greg Polson from Cults. Every week, our show explores the history and psychology behind the world's most notorious cults. Greg is here to discuss the aftermath of today's story, while I'll cover the narrative.
Thanks, Vanessa. I'm thrilled to dive into the incredible impact of Chief Albert Lutuli.
Absolutely. Now let's go back to just outside Groutville in South Africa on the morning of July 21st, 1967. 69-year-old Albert John Lutuli was graying. On separate occasions, he'd recently suffered a minor stroke and a heart attack. As he grew older, his eyesight and hearing were fading. Yet even then, to the South African government, he was one of the most dangerous men in the country. Lutuli had been the target of multiple bans that ordered him to remain within a strict distance from his home and never to speak publicly or communicate with his old comrades. To ensure he complied, government agents watched him like a hawk, following him everywhere. If he so much as sneezed, a man hiding in the bushes recorded it. When Lutuli went out for a morning stroll on July 21st, one of two things happened. In the first version of the story, the agents shadowing him dropped the ball and lost sight of him along the railroad tracks outside Groutville. There, he met a tragic end. In the other version, the government deliberately ensured Lutuli never returned home alive. Back when he worked as a teacher, Lutuli, a Christian Zulu chief, realized that an education was a gift to be shared among all people. At the time, the apartheid government kept South African society segregated, offering good schooling and opportunities solely to white South Africans. So in 1945, Lutuli joined the African National Congress, a party that represented all South Africans in defiance of the white supremacist government. He became the ANC president in 1952 and soon played an important role in launching the Defiance Campaign. It was an anti-apartheid movement, practicing civil disobedience and nonviolent protest. The government struck back. Lutuli's movements were restricted to a 15-mile radius from his home, and his interactions were closely monitored by authorities at all times. They lifted the ban temporarily for Lutuli to travel to Oslo, Norway in 1961 because he was being awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. With the world watching, he reiterated that peace could only ever be won through protest and nonviolence. South African officials wanted to eclipse his international spotlight, and in May of 1964, they enforced an even stricter ban. Lutuli was forced to spend all his time in the immediate vicinity of his Groutville home. But even then, he managed some contact with the outside world, meeting there with American Senator Robert F. Kennedy. After Kennedy departed the humble home, he declared that Lutuli was one of the most impressive men he'd ever met. In an ironic twist of fate, the two political activists would both be dead within 2 years. Clearly, the bans couldn't hold back Lutuli's influence. The apartheid government didn't just want Lutuli grounded anymore. They wanted him silenced. That context is important because when Luthuli died on the morning of July 21, 1967, there were apparently no witnesses, according to the government. The story seemed almost impossible to believe due to the constant surveillance Luthuli was under. In fact, it was completely untrue, because the last person to speak with Luthuli claimed that she had witnessed the moments just before and after his death, and no one in power wanted her testimony on record. On July 21st, L.R. Ngidi, a little girl, was on vacation with her cousin just outside of Groutville. That morning, she and her cousin spotted Albert Luthuli walking along the railroad tracks. The two children accompanied him toward the Umvoti River. Luthuli told the kids that they should arm themselves with education. As his large hands stroked the backs of their heads, he gave them a warm, grandfatherly smile. Halfway down the bridge, Luthuli sent LR and her cousin home. They got about 30 feet away when they heard a huge bang, like something large striking metal. LR turned and saw that Luthuli wasn't in the walking lane anymore. Blood seeped from his head. The tail end of a train rolled toward the far side of the bridge. Then LR noticed the white man standing nearby, a stranger she hadn't spotted before the accident. The little girl ran home, screaming for help. Her family alerted the station manager and called an ambulance. Soon, the news spread throughout the nation. Luthuli had been killed in a freak train accident. But for the next 50 years, his family and supporters would demand a better answer. They wanted to know who the mysterious white man was and if he played a part in Luthuli's final moments. Coming up, Albert Luthuli's death leaves unanswered questions.
Imagine living with a secret so big that if anyone ever found out, it would change everything. Imagine carrying that secret with you every day, desperate to one day get it off your chest. Do you think you could take a secret like that to the grave? I'm Estefania Hageman, host of the new podcast series, Deathbed Confessions, the show where we dive deep into the most explosive things people have admitted to while drawing their last breath. From murder, fake identities, heists, illicit affairs, and even top government secrets. This season on Deathbed Confessions, we investigate cases like Frank Thorogood, the construction worker who claimed that the drowning of Rolling Stones founder Brian Jones was no accident. Margaret Gibson, a silent film actress who, while dying of a heart attack, confessed to one of the most famous unsolved crimes in Hollywood history. And ex-CIA officer Howard Hunt, who on his deathbed confessed to playing a role in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Deathbed Confessions is a Spotify original from Parcast, airing episodes weekly starting July 21st. Follow and listen to Deathbed Confessions for free on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Now back to the story. On July 21st, 1967, Nobel laureate and ANC president Albert Luthuli died after being struck by a train. Many believed that his unusual death had not been a freak accident, but rather an assassination ordered by the apartheid government of South Africa. My guest host, Greg Polson, will take us through the aftermath of Luthuli's death.
Thanks, Vanessa. Police quickly commandeered the crime scene near the railroad tracks. They asked questions, performed an autopsy, and certified a death certificate as if they were in a rush. They decided that Luthuli was a victim of his own frailty. They claimed he must not have seen or heard the train coming up behind him on the Umvoti River Bridge. They also failed to call any witnesses. But of course, there was a witness. little LR, who had been walking and chatting with her elder moments before he was struck. It seems the authorities never reported LR's claim that there was a white man standing near Lutuli's body after the impact. At that time, people had every reason to doubt the findings of the police. When an anti-apartheid leader died under mysterious circumstances, everyone immediately suspected foul play. Between 1963 and 1990, 73 anti-apartheid activists died while detained by authorities. Take, for instance, 29-year-old Ahmed Timmel. On October 27, 1971, law enforcement claimed that Timmel jumped from a 10th-story window. Almost everyone knew this was false. Timmel didn't actually jump. He was tortured for 5 days and then thrown from the building. 46 years later, in 2017, a new investigation reversed the cover-up. A judge announced that Ahmed Timmel's death was not suicide, but murder at the hands of the apartheid police. 2017 also marked the 50th anniversary of Lutuli's passing. On that special celebration, authorities were in the process of reopening an investigation into his death. If Timmel's family could receive closure, perhaps Lutuli's could as well. His daughter, Dr. Albertina Lutuli, gave her full support to the campaign. She became particularly interested in the little girl who had spoken with her grandfather moments before the train struck him. Now middle-aged, LR still asserted she was there when Lutuli was killed, and that she saw a strange white man right after it happened. The only man this could potentially be was the train's guard, typically stationed at the rear of the locomotive. But that didn't explain why police hadn't listed him as a witness, nor why he hadn't come forward to testify. The unanswered questions remain to this day. 2017 brought with it the first serious consideration of reopening Lutuli's case. Despite the nationwide call for justice, the family knew they might never receive it. 50-year-old memories of a crime might not hold up in court or yield anything interesting to lawmakers. Other than personal testimony, physical evidence that pointed to a killer would be nearly impossible. However, proving the Nobel laureate was deliberately killed might be its own reward. Lutuli believed that education was a gift that belonged to everyone. With the dark history of apartheid South Africa being brought to light, the truth wouldn't just be a comfort to his family, it would be a weapon against evil.
I'm Vanessa Richardson. Thanks again, Greg, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. You can find our show Cults on Spotify.
And you can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Paul Libeskin, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Trent Williamson, Carly Madden, and Bruce Kitovich. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Daniel William Gonzalez, with writing assistance by Terrell Wells, and fact-checking by Bennett Logan. Today in True Crime stars Greg Polson and Vanessa Richardson.